Morning. Today's daf in Erevin Ayin Beis. We're in Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We are a little bit less than halfway down the Amud. We're going to begin this morning with the words Tanya. Let us quickly ground ourselves in order to appreciate today's daf. We were introduced yesterday to the sheet of Mavoi. We're here. Let's go back just a little bit. We're here in the sixth parak of the Erevin. We're discussing the concept of Eruv Chatzeros. This parak is a little bit longer in terms of Erevin. Basically, each parak is about 10 blot, but this one's a little bit longer. And really, the sixth parak over here, this is now the second half of the Masechta. So it introduced us to the idea, to the concept of Eruv Chatzeros. And the idea is that in order to be able to carry from my house into the Chatzer, so even though both are Rishus Yachid, so an Eruv has to be established. We're going to be discussing, Eruv has to be done with bread. In order to unify the houses and the chatzir, so everyone needs to make a contribution of bread. We discussed this already a number of times here in this perek. There's also another concept, which is what's called the sheet of mavui. Sheet of mavui, very similar to that of an eruv. It just happens to be the fundamental difference between sheet of mavui and an eruv is primarily for houses and chatziros, and the sheet of mavui is for the mavui. So that means to say that I have many houses that are attached to a chatzer, and I have multiple chatzeros attached to a mavui. In order for people to be able to carry from their chatzer to the mavui being a more public area, although again the mavui is enclosed, it's a reshus yachin. So to be able to carry from the chatzer to the mavui, so you need a shituf. A shituf basically operates in the same way as a standard eruv does, in which it creates unification. It allows now everybody to be viewed as one entity, and so therefore one can carry now from the chatzer to the mavui. So to carry intra-chatzer, you need an Erev, and to carry intra-mavui, you need a shituf. Okay, one of the things that we'll be touching on, and we've already touched on, but just as fundamental differences between Erev and shituf, is that an Erev has to be done with bread. Shituf can be done with any food. Okay, we're going to be talking about wine and oil, but truth of the matter is that basically any caloric food can be used for the shituf. Why the difference? The Gemara never really articulates a difference in terms of why that should be, but the understanding of many is that when it comes to an Eruv, so basically what we're looking is to create singular residency, meaning the Eruv is for a chatzer, which is really an extension of a home. And what we want to do is we want to unify homes. So if we're talking about residency, so residency is generally established by bread. It's a makum dira. On the other hand, when it comes to a mavui, so there's no residency that we're establishing in the mavui. We're just looking there to create unification. So if unification is the goal by the mavui, so therefore the chachamim were more lenient in terms of what could be used as a means, as a vehicle of unification, and that is you could use any food that you want, except for water and salt. Okay, so that's the very basics. Yesterday, what we learned in the Mishnah, Ayin Aleph and Aleph, is that if we have a partnership amongst the various members of the mavui, and the partnership is made over a singular commodity, like wine or like oil, so then that partnership that's created over this business venture, and it happens to be over a singular commodity, that partnership can in fact replace the sheet of mavui. Okay, which is a huge idea, which the Mishnah introduced us to yesterday. So if I have various members of the mavui all linked up and partnered up over wine or over oil, so then that's a substitution for the sheet of mavui, and there we have it. We have a sheet of mavui. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said, I'm sorry, before I get to Rabbi Shimon, if, however, let's say the partnerships are over separate commodities, in other words, one partnership is created with wine, the second partnership is created with oil, so then that does not create the replacement of a shituf, that does not create the necessary unification so that people can carry from the chatzer to the mavui. All that is the shituf, the Tanakam of the Mishnah. Back in the Mishnah, there was also a shituf Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that even if the partnership is over multiple commodities, over wine and oil, so still that can take the place of a shituf mavui. That shituf Rabbi Shimon. So Adkan. So basically, what we saw together, machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon But basically, everyone's in agreement that you have this idea that a business partnership can at times take the place of the need of the requirement of a sheet of mavui. Okay, we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. I'm not going to review right now. We did it yesterday. The various ways to understand the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. And we went through a couple of different iterations of how to understand the machlokas between the two of them. And that goes back to yesterday's daf. We're going to continue now where we left off yesterday. And we are in the middle of Ayin, Aleph, Amud, Beis. And we're starting with the words Tanya. It's towards a little bit higher up from the midpoint in the Gemara. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, Omer Echazev, Echazev, Shrichan La'arev. In both cases, there is a requirement to make an Eruv. Meaning, in the word Eruv over here, like we said yesterday, is used loosely over here. It means Shituf. So, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, even if there's a partnership between the various members of the Mavui, still, on top of that, you need to make a formal shituf. Now, ve'afilu zebiyayin v'lezebiyayin. So the Gemara says, really? What if the partnership is over a single commodity? What would you say over there? So Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, zeba b'liga v'shafach v'zeba b'liga v'shafach chulei amal opligi dahave erev. So the Gemara, so Rabba now is going to qualify the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai right now is providing a position which to us now is the most machmir position that we've seen on this topic. He says that even when I have a group of people within the Mavui who are creating a partnership over a single commodity, still can't be used as a sheet of Mavui. So within that, Rabba now is qualifying. The entire position over here of Elazar ben Tadai is limited. If we had every member of the Mavui making the partnership over this oil, and everyone actually participates and puts oil in a single barrel, and so now the partnership is created with everybody's individual oils collected and now going to be sold eventually. So fine. So that for sure now can substitute for our Eruv. Again, the word Eruv over here means Shituf, because we're talking about wine. So keep pligi, the Gemara says, the debate, as far as the debate is concerned, it's kikon shalachu chavishol yayin b'shutfus. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai savor ein breira, v'rabbanan savor yesh breira. The entire debate over here is where the partnership is created, where everyone pooled their money together, and with the joint money, we bought a big barrel of wine. And if the partnership is created under those circumstances, so then Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai says that wine cannot be our sheet of mavui. Now the Gemara over here says it's contingent on the issue of breira. We've gone over breira numerous times. Here Masechta Eruvin, it happens to be that we've covered it on a number of occasions here in our Masechta, the topic of Breira, actually pretty recently as well. But the idea behind Breira is retroactive determination, meaning we're going to make a decision now, and it's going to go back retroactively. The Gemara's usage of the word Breira over here, perhaps not to be understood in the most classic sense of retroactive determination, it just means like this. If I subscribe to the idea of Breira, I basically can say as follows. When we pool our money together and we buy wine, so when you are open to the idea of Breira, so you're also open to the idea that my shares of that wine actually are my wine. Okay, now obviously, again, it's a partnership. When I say the words my wine, it's a partnership, and we're going to be selling the wine and we're going to be looking to capitalize on the venture. Okay, so obviously when I say my wine over here, I don't literally mean my wine, but if you subscribe to the idea of Breira, you can easily look at each member's share of the wine as theirs. On the other hand, when you say Ein Breira, so that means to say that the wine is just a business venture, meaning the wine itself is just simply a vehicle to make money. How do I know that? Because I didn't contribute my wine to the partnership. I contributed money to the partnership. And then with that money, we went ahead and we bought wine. So the wine over here is not as mine as much as my interest in making money. And it's just really, primarily, it's a business. And it just happens to be the wine is the vehicle of that business. Okay. And under those circumstances, so now what Rabbah is clarifying is that if everyone just pooled money together, so then Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai says, even if we all bought a barrel of wine with that money, that can serve as our shituf, because again, the wine over there is not the critical part, that is just simply a business venture. If everyone actually participated with wine in this business venture, that could substitute as a shituf mavui. That is all but Rabba's explanation of Rav Elazar ben Tadai and his debate with the Chachamim. The Gemara now is going to go another way of saying it. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Elazar ben Tadai, V'Rabbanim B'samchen al Shituf M'makam Erev K'miflegi. The debate between Rav Elazar ben Tadai and the Chachamim is whether or not we can rely on the We could rely on the Shituf, where we also need to make an Erev as well. Okay, so now we are going to be touching on an issue which is going to take up a good part of our morning. And so let me just quickly introduce it. It's the idea that in a chatzer, so in a classic chatzer where I have houses adjoining a chatzer and chatzers adjoining a mavoi, so really the truth of the matter is for Shabbos we need to put in place two institutions, two structures. One is that we need to make an Eruv, so that people can carry from the home to the chatzer, from the chatzer back to the home. And on top of that also, if let's say we have adjoining chatzeros, in other words, not walking through the mavui, but just simply chatzeros that are open one to another, that also operates with the Eruv of bread. So in order to be able to carry from one chatzer to another. That's one institution. The other institution is Shituf Mavui, meaning in order for me to be able to carry from my chatzer to the mavui, so there I need Shituf Mavos. Okay, and now here's what we're touching on. Let's say we have set up for ourselves Shituf HaMavui for the various chatzeros that are opened up to the Mavui. Can that also double as the requirement for an Eruv? So that means to say that here we set up our Shituf, and now on top of that, we also need to set up an Eruv, but we didn't set up an Eruv. Can I rely on the Shituf now and take the place of the Eruv? Now, what the Shituf does is it creates unification. So can that unification now be viewed not only on the larger scale of Chatzar to Mavui, but can it also be viewed on the smaller scale from Chatzar to Chatzar? And by the way, the Gemara over here seems to be indicating that we're going to be relying on the Shituf not only to go from Chatzar to Chatzar, but even within a Chatzar to go from home to Chatzar as well. That part, admittedly, is not super clear. The Gemara never really articulates that point, but presumably, that's also part of our discussion as well. And the Gemara now is suggesting, this is Rav Yosef's understanding, now we go back to our Gemara, this is Rav Yosef's understanding of the Machlokas between Rav Elazar ben Tadai and the Chachamim. And let's read it inside Rav Yosef. Amar Rav Elazar ben Tadai v'Rabbanan besomchem al shituf b'makom eruv kamiflagi. This is exactly their debate. Mar Savrein somchen and Mar Savra somchen. So Rav Elazar ben Tadai is of the position that we cannot rely on the Shituf to take the place of the Eruv, meaning even with the Shituf in place, you still need an Eruv in order to be carrying from one Chatzar to another, and from home to Chatzar, Umar Sava Somchen. Whereas opposed to the Chachamim are of the opinion that you can rely on the Shituf. Now, by the way, if this sounds familiar, should, because not so long ago, a number of days ago in the Daf, We did the Gemara with the Ishtapeh Chamima, where all that water spilled on Shabbos. There was a bris milah to be done on Shabbos, and you had a lot of water that spilled. And under those circumstances, so one of the questions was, did we make an Eruv? And the answer was no. And then the follow up question was, well, did you make a Shituf? So in other words, now we understand a lot better. Meaning, primarily, principally, in order to carry from home to Chatzar and from one Chatzar to another Chatzar, that you need Eruv. Oh, you didn't do that? Well, okay, but at least did you set up a Shituf? And as we're seeing right now, some are of the position that if I set up a Shituf, even without an Eruv, I can use the Shituf not only for the Shituf purposes of carrying from Chatzar to Mavui, but I could also use the Shituf for carrying from Chatzar to Chatzar and from home to Chatzar. Okay, anyway, that was just a little bit of a throwback. Amar Rav Yosef, we're going to continue the Gemara now. This explanation that Rav Yosef is giving in the Machlokas between Rav Elazar ben Tadai and the Chachamim, Rav Yosef says, let me support this explanation. So the Gemara says, consider that on one hand, Rav says, Halacha is like Rav Meir. Now, Rav Meir, which Rav Meir? So, right, where did Rav Meir come up in this entire discussion? Up until now, we've been focusing on our Mishnah, Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. We just saw a Braisa in the beginning of today's daf, Rav Elazar ben Tadai. Who is Rav Meir? What Rav Meir? So he's coming up. He's coming up a little bit later on. Anyway, suffice to say that Rav Meir does not allow the Shituf to serve as not only the Mavui, the unification of the Mavui, but also could double also as the Erev Chatzeres as well. That's Shituf Rav Meir. Rav Meir says you can't double the Shituf also for the purpose of Erev. And Amar Rabbona Amar Rav Alachi K'Rav Elazar ben Tadai. And the Gemara also quotes B'Shem Rabbona Amar Rav the Alachas Rav Elazar ben Tadai. So over here we know that we have two piske halacha that come from Rav. One, the halacha is like Rav Meir, that you can't double the Shituf as both Shituf and Eruv. And also the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Tadai that we just quoted in the Braisa. Rav Elazar ben Tadai, who says Rav Elazar ben Dadai, who says that is both where the partnership is created with wine or with oil, you still have to make an Eruv. And now Rav Yosef's understanding is, what does that mean, you still have to make an Eruv? Meaning that even though you have a Shitof in place, you still need to make an Eruv. Ah, so now Rav Yosef says, beautiful. These two Piskei Halacha basically are telling us that the Halacha of Rabbi Meir and the Halacha of Rav Elazar ben Dadai are one in the same. So my time Allah Mishum de Chataimu, so the Gemara says perfect, because it's predicated on the same reason. So Amalei Abai Vi Chataima Tarti Hilchas Alamali. So Abai says, okay, so good. Let me even accept that what you're saying is correct. That really is predicated on one reason. So then what seems to be strange is that why did Rav have to issue two Piske Halacha? Meaning tell me the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Dadai, or tell me the halacha is like Rav Meir, but Rav have to, if Rav really feels that the two of them are saying basically the same thing, so then why did Rav have to issue two piskei halacha? So the Gemara says, HaKamash Malan Delo Avdina Ketrei Chomer Be'erivin. So the Gemara says, because here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to have a psak halacha that's going to represent in of itself two chomros. Okay, again, this is a theme that we've hit again and again throughout our Masechta, and that is that by Erivin, we're going to be more mekel. Right? Halacha can mekel by Erivin. And over here, this seems to be a close relative of that idea, a cousin, if you will, and that is that if a position, a particular position, represents not one but two chumros, so we're not going to pass on like that position. So the Gemara says that as far as Rav is concerned over here, the idea that he's passing like Rav Meir, that in of itself is going to represent two chumros. Why two chumros? So chumra number one. Chumra number one is that if I set up a shitof, I still have to set up an eruv. Okay. Now that already in of itself is a chumra. Here comes chumra number two. What if the shitof that I made up is made up of bread? So now, again, when it comes to the shitof, you can make whatever food you want, as we already established. But let's say I use bread as my shitof. So now I'm using the food that not only can be a vehicle for the shitof, but it could also be a vehicle for the eruv as well. Can that double as an eruv? So Rav says no. In that regard, no. But that would already be a second chumra. Meaning the fact that I can't double the shitof as for shitof and eruv, that's chumra number one. And even if I use bread, I can't double it over, that's chumra number two. So what Rav has to first establish is that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Dadai. That already creates a baseline, that I cannot double the Eruv, my Shitov as an Eruv. Then we get to the halacha being like Rav Meir. But Rav Meir, even though he is made up of two chumras, but because Rav says first the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Dadai, that already creates the baseline halacha that the Shitov cannot double as in Eruv. Then on top of that, we're passing like Rav Meir. Now that comes out to be only one additional chumra, additional to that of Rav Elazar ben Dadai. Without Rav Elazar ben Dadai, so then Rav Meir himself is representing two chumras, and that far we won't go. This is the explanation of why Rav had to say it in both cases. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the end of our explanations of our Mishnah, Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon, the Braisa of Rav Elazar ben Tadai, and the Chachamim, and in doing so, in the course of doing so, so Rav Yosef says that the explanation is really in line with the Machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. We have not received yet a formal introduction to the Machlokas of Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The Gemara is going to do so right now. My Rabbi Meir, my Rabbanah, the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Ma'arvin bechatzeres bepas, v'imratzala Rabbi Yain, ein Ma'arvin. So as far as the Erev Chatzeres is concerned, that has to be done with bread. You can't do it with wine. Good. I know we talked about this in the introduction to the daf, but here it is. In other words, this is the Gemara that tells us that for Erev Chatzeres, it can be done with bread and only with bread. Mishatvim b'mavoi b'yayin. Now, when it comes to shit of mavoi, so it can be done with wine. Mim rasli shatav b'pas mishatvim. Now, it doesn't have to be wine. It could be bread. But as a leniency, it can be done even with wine as well. Okay, and we already addressed the question in terms of why the fundamental difference. Go back to the beginning of this morning shir. Anyway, ma'arvin bechatzeros u'mishatvin b'mavoi. If I made an Erev Chatzeros, I'm going to make a sheet of mavoi, meaning you must make both of these institutions. Shalo lishkach toros Erev minatinokos. Shiyam ravasen lo irvu divra bimeir. Now, Rav Meir basically is saying as follows. Even with the setting up of a shitov, I still need to make an Erev. Why? Because here's what will happen. What will happen is if we only make a shitov and within our chatzar, we're not making an Erev with bread, so children are going to be raised in a chatzar, in families, where they never saw the Erev chatzeros. And what's going to end up happening is that as much as it's part and parcel of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and we're spending an entire Masechta talking about it, quite frankly, half of Masechta, second half of Erevin, but still, it's on the books. The Gemara says, good, it's on the books. But if it's not practiced, people are just simply gonna forget about it. So Rav Meir says is that even with a shittuf set up, you still have to make an Erev. The Chachamim Romim, O Me'arvim, O Me'shatim. Now the Chachamim said, no. If you make an Erev, that obviously is good in order to be able to carry from home to Chatzir and from Chatzir to adjoining Chatzir. Or you can make a shittuf. And the shittuf by itself would be enough. Obviously, the shittuf is good to carry from Chatzir to Mavui. But according to the Chachamim, the shittuf also would be good. It would also be acceptable to carry from Chatzir to adjoining Chatzir as well. Meaning that the shittuf can double both as the shittuf Mavos, and it could also double as the Erev Chatziris as well. Now, here we have clearly articulated the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, but now the Gemara is going to frame the machlokas. Pligi bar, Rav Nechumi, Virabba. There's a subsequent debate amongst the Amoraim. The Amoraim are going to frame the machlokas of the Tanaim. So, Chanam Rabbe Pasta Kule Amalo Pligi Dechadasage. Now, in one viewpoint, the Gemara doesn't assign who says what, we just simply know who the participants of this debate are, but regardless. So one is of the position that if I make my shittuf and I use bread for my shittuf, so then there is agreement between the Chacham and Rav Meir that the bread of the shittuf can now double also as the Erev for the Chatzeres. Keep pligi yain, the only debate is when I use wine. That's the debate between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, where Rav Meir expresses a harsher position, which is that the shittuf cannot double as the Erev, and the Chachamim, think about it, it's really interesting. The Chachamim express a extraordinarily lenient position over here in this first framing of the debate, in that I'm using a wine for shittuf, which is perfectly legitimate, and then once it is in place and once it is effective for the Mavui, so that people can carry from the Chatzar to the Mavui, it also will allow for people now to carry in the Chatzeres as well. Even though, if I had to set up something for the Chatzar, it couldn't be wine. Okay, so it's interesting that, according to the Chachamim, in this first framing, so the Chachamim now are being extraordinarily makel. The Chanamar now, in the other way to frame it, as we now are on the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, Chanamar b'yayin d'kol ha'am lo pligi d'be'inan tarti. If I'm going to be using wine, everyone is in agreement that I need the shittuf and I need the Erev, because the Erev has to be with bread, and the shittuf was made with wine. So ki pligi bepas, the whole debate over here is with bread. That's the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Chachamim are of the position that if I made my shittuf with bread, it could also double as my Erev Chatzeros. And according to Rav Meir, no. If I made my shittuf with bread, I still am going to have to make a separate Erev Chatzeros. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on the brisa of a Chachamim, Amrim, Omer, Arvin, Meshatvin. Now, we're just going to quote the brisa that we just articulated moments earlier. And here in the shittuf of the Chachamim, you can either or. Now, when the brisa said either or, what was it talking about? My love, Omer, Arvin, Bechatzar, Bepasar, Meshatvin, Bemavah, Beyayin. So presumably we meant either you can make your Erev with bread or you can make your shittuf with wine. And that is, parenthetically, a really viable way to explain the brisa, because typically I make an Erev with bread. Typically, I make a shittuf with wine. So the Gemara says, good. Now, that seemingly is the shittuf of the Chachamim. And if that's true, so that tells me that according to the Chachamim, I can double the shittuf and use it not only for the shittuf mavui, but I can even use it for the chatzer, even though what I used to make it with is wine and not even bread. Okay, so this would seem to support the first framing of the machlokas. So I'm Rav Gidal Marav. So hachi kamar oma arvin bechatzer bepasum mutarim kan vekan oma shatvin bemavui bepasum mutarim kan vekan. So Rav Gidal Marav says he didn't have to read the brisa that way. And another way, and a totally acceptable way to read the brisa, is that the brisa was talking about the shittuf was made with bread. And under those circumstances, and only under those circumstances, can we now double the shittuf also as my Erev Chatzeres. Okay, and where are we now in the Gemara? Hopefully somewhat not confused. Hopefully it was presented in an organized fashion. But we have now a debate amongst the Tanaim, and also a debate amongst the Amoraim in terms of how to frame that debate amongst the Tanaim, in terms of if I set up my Shittuf Mavui, whether or not that Shittuf Mavui can also be used for the Erev Chatziris as well. So I'm Rav Yudah Marav, so the Gemara now is going to conclude on this matter, Halacha Kered Meir. So according to Rav Yudah Marav, Halacha is like Rav Meir. Now, that shouldn't surprise us because we already discussed that earlier in the daf. the Gemara now is going to have two other ways to state the halacha. But before we get to the two other ways, that means according to Rav Yehuda Merav, so that means to say that in public discourse and in public dissemination, we're going to paskin like Rav Meir. Now remember, there are two views of Rav Meir. One view of Rav Meir is that the shituf cannot be relied on, cannot be doubled as the erev under any circumstance. That was the second framing. In the first framing, so if the shituf was made with bread, so under those circumstances, then it can be doubled as the erev chatzeres as well. Okay, anyway, but Rav's position is that we paskin like Rabbi Meir. Not clear at this point in time which version of Rabbi Meir, but the halachas of Rabbi Meir, which obviously represents a more stringent position. Now, Rav Huna Amar Minak Rabbi Meir, Rav Huna says that the Minak is like Rabbi Meir, and Rav Yochanan Amar Naguam Karabbi Meir, and Rav Yochanan says Naguam Karabbi Meir. Hopefully all this sounds familiar. The Gemara used this kind of language earlier in this very parak. Now, the differences between halacha versus minag versus nagu, so Rashi over here says, as we've seen earlier as well. Halacha means that it's for public dissemination. Minag means that one-on-one I'll tell people to follow like Rav Meir, but I will not say so publicly. And nagu means I won't protest. If someone's going to adopt the position of Rav Meir, I'm not going to protest. Now, this last position is represented by Rav Yochanan. What it sounds like is that Rav Yochanan is telling us that fundamentally the halacha is like the chachamim. If somebody wants to be machmer like Rav Meir, so I won't object to it. Now, object, that's a funny way to say it. You won't object to it, meaning if somebody wants to be machmer like Rav Meir, let him be machmer like Rav Meir. What's the possible objection? So you can see Tosos over here, Tosos, Nagu Amka Rav Meir, who asked this very question and is bothered by this, meaning why the language over here of I won't protest. But what it sounds like from Rav Yochanan is that fundamentally he's of the position that we hold like the Chachamim, that the Shituf can double also as the Erev Chatzeres. Again, by the way, we get to ask the same question over here as well. Meaning within the Shituf of the Chachamim, which version of the Chachamim? Is it the first version of the Chachamim that any Shituf can double over as the Erev Chatzeres as well, whether the Shituf be made of bread or wine? Or is that no, only when the shituf is made out of bread, then and only then can it be doubled as the eruve chatzeres? Good. That's the that we can ask that question as well. As far as the halacha is concerned, the established practice for generations, for hundreds of years, going at least back to the Ramah and probably much earlier as well, is that we make one eruv, meaning it serves both as a shituf and as the erev as well, right? I'm sure everybody knows. And if not, let's just be clear. What we do is we have a box of matzahs. The rav is mezaka that box of matzahs for all the Jews that are enclosed within the enclosure. Obviously, you're going to have to make a perimeter around so that it is one singular rishus yachid. Even though obviously within that you have streets and homes and courtyards, etc. So you make a perimeter around, and then for all the people living in there, so we're making one box of matzahs. Now, is that my sheet of mavui? Is that my ear of chaseris? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. It's both. It is both. So what it sounds like is that basically we're pasking like the chachamim. On the other hand, that part is not super clear because we could be paskening like Rabbi Meir in the first version of Rav Meir, that if I make my sheet of mavui out of bread, so then it could double over as the Erev Chatzeres as well. That was the first framing of Shitas Rav Meir. So our practice over here can really fit into two positions. It could either fit into the Rav Meir position in first framing of Rav Meir, or it could fit into Rav Chachamim. Now, for the Chachamim, it actually doesn't matter which framing it is. The Chachamim or Marmekel. Now, why is it confusing in terms of who we paskin like? Consider what we just learned in the Gemara. Meaning, Rav says that we fully endorse the shita of Rav Meir. Rav Yochanan says we fully endorse the shita of the Chachamim. Someone wants to be machmir like Rav Meir, I won't protest, but fundamentally, Allah is like the Chachamim. So you see amongst the Amoraim already dissent in terms of which position we follow. And even if we establish which position we follow, which framing of the position do we follow, okay, it obviously makes for a complicated sugya and the halacha being complicated, but the halacha is not complicated. The halacha is that we make the eruv with a box of matzahs, and that's both. It's both the shita of mavui and it's also the eruv chatzeres as well. Amar Rav Nachman. Sorry. Let's start with the Mishnah. We are on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, and we are up to our next Mishnah. Our next Mishnah over here is really a straightforward discussion regarding a building, multiple residences in the building, like an apartment, and basically, when do we view the residents of each of the apartments to be separate from one another, thereby resulting, creating the obligation to make an Erev. So the Gemara now starts the discussion. The Mishnah starts the discussion. So you have five different groups who are in one large house. And Beit Shammai Omrim, Erev Lechol, Chabura V'Chabura. So Beit Shammai says that these groups represent different residences within the home. And so therefore you have your basically your different residences. And of course you have common area within the home as well. And so therefore, this is a classic scenario of an Erev. An Erev is required. Beisil Omrim, Erev Echel Kulan, and Beisil is of the position that no, it's considered, they're considered all as one entity. All the people living, residing in that home are considered one entity, one group. And therefore, there's no Erev requirement. If they want to be Ma'ariv with, let's say, an adjoining house or an adjoining Chatzir, so then they only need to make one contribution. Now, if, however, they're in different rooms or in their different floors, so then they are considered separate groups from one another. Okay, here's what we know after having learned the Mishnah. There is a point in time where Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel argue, and there's a point where they agree. And so the discussion over here is actually going to be very straightforward, although layered, and that is, when is there going to be a requirement of togetherness, and when is there going to be a requirement of separate structures? So the Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Nachman, Machlokas B'Mesipas, according to Rav Nachman. The entire debate is going to be revolving around Mesipas. That means to say that there are just the smallest partitions that separating one from the other. Avav Mechitza, Asar L'Chol Chabura, Divrei HaKol, Erev L'Chol Chabura V'Chabura. But if there is actual walls, but walls over here meaning not makeshift walls, they're only 10 tefachim high, still, the halacha is that they only there's going to be agreement that they're going to be viewed as separate entities, each one of them having to make a separate contribution. That is version number one. So within version number one, so once the walls that separate them are just 10 tefachim high, that is going to be sufficient grounds to create separation, thereby each one of them requiring their own contribution to the Erev. V'igadamri, now in a slightly different version, Amar Rav Nachman, af b'mesipas machlokas. The debate is, even if there's a makeshift divider between the two of them, still there's going to be a debate between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now, within this second version, so now we know where they debate. Within the second version, it's not clear where there's agreement. In the Mishnah, we know that there's a point of agreement. We don't know what that point is. In the first version, we articulated what that point is. In the second version, we did not articulate what that point is. That is all one understanding. Pliga bar Rav Chiya v'Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbi. Here we have early Amoraim, late Tanaim, however you want to describe it, people living right on the border between the period of the Tanaim and the Amoraim, and they're debating within the framework of the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Chad Amar Machlokas B'Mechitzas HaMegios LeTikra. The debate is where the Mechitzas get arrived to the ceiling. Ava Mechitzas SheMegios LeTikra Divrei HaKol Erev Echel LeKulan. So in one version, in one framing of the Machlokas, if the walls hit the ceiling, so then at that point in time, machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, where if the walls didn't hit the ceiling, so in other words, they're movable walls, or not even if they're movable, but they just simply don't hit the ceiling, so then they're viewed as one unit, they're viewed as one domicile, only one contribution is needed from everyone there. That is all version one, number one. V'chad amar machlokes b'mechitzas, she'im agilas dikra, aval, mechitzas amagilas dikra, divrei hakol tzrichin erev l'chol chabur v'chabura. In the second version, just the opposite, where if the walls hit the ceiling, there we have agreement. If the walls don't hit the ceiling, so then we have machlokas. Good. So, in our Mishnah, we know Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing. We also know there's a point of agreement, and amongst the Amoraim, so a debate in terms of when there's agreement and when there is, in fact, going to be machlokas. Meisvei. As we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis, the Gemara now challenges based on the following. Amar Rav Yehuda Savar. Now, if you look at Rashi over here, it's an interesting appellation, Hasavar. Rashi writes, Al Shem Chorfei Kari Lehachi. He's called Savar because he happens to be extraordinarily sharp. And so he's called Rav Yehuda Savar. Why have we not heard of him elsewhere in Shas? It's a wonderful question. That's perhaps the reason why Tosos over here doesn't agree. Tosos over here says that it's not hasavar, but he goes with a different girsa. He quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, it's hasavach. And that means to say that he happens to be a gardener. So we see that many of the Tanaim are given nicknames, so to say, that reflect their occupation, their profession. Okay, so and that's Tosus does not agree with Rashi in any event. Here, Amar Yehuda Savar, lo nechlugu beishamay beisela amechitzas amegis latikra. If the walls hit the ceiling, there's no debate. Shetzrichem erev lechol chabur vechabura. So each unit now is independent of the other, and so therefore they're going to have to make an erev within within the structure. Basically, apartments, hotels. All right, that's where there's agreement. So and echad lekulan, and that's where we're going to have the debate. And Shitas Beis Hillel is that when the walls don't hit the ceiling, so then it's one air for everybody. Now this brisa over here of the many different ways that we explained the Mishnah. So this brisa fits into which of the positions the Gemara is going to discuss. So to Yufta. So to the position that the mechitzos, when hitting the roof, is that's when they're debating. So then this brisa that we just quoted is a clear rejection of that position. So siyata. Now for the position that says that when the ceilings hit the roof, so that's where they agree. So this brisa obviously is a clear. Is a clear support for that position. And lahachlus and damer Rav Nachman chlokas b'mesipas tiyufta. Now in the on the Amud Aleph on the bottom where we had Shitas Rav Nachman that they're debating where it's just makeshift dividers between them. So this brisa is a clear refutation because this brisa is of the position that they're debating even when it's significant dividers. And lahachlus and damer Rav Nachman af b'mesipas machlokas lemitav tiyufta. What about that opinion on the Amud Aleph? Where in the second version of Rav Nachman, even if it's makeshift dividers, there's a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Amalecha Rav Nachman, pligi b'mechitza v'hu adim b'mesipas. So it could very well be that here we don't necessarily have to reject that position. Could be said that Rav Nachman says that they're arguing about mechitza, they're even arguing about mesipas. Meaning even a makeshift divider. And over here, we're just simply accentuating the position of Beis Hillel. Now, the Gemara says, why not argue over makeshift dividers in order to highlight and accentuate the position of Beis Shammai? The Gemara says, yeah, but if we have an option of accentuating a lenient position or a stringent position, we're much more interested in highlighting a lenient position over that of a stringent position. Rashi, in the Gemara in Beitza, in the beginning of the Masechta. So he writes over there, Koch Tera Adif, why? Why is it better to accentuate a more lenient position? So Rashi over there says, because anyone can be Machmir. To be Machmir does not require an act of courage. It just simply means that I'm not particularly sure what the halacha is, or let's say better. It could mean that I'm not particularly sure of the halacha, and we'll just simply err on the side of caution, and we're going to be Machmir. So anyone who's taking a more stringent position is not necessarily doing so based on analysis or based on understanding, could just simply be that we're caution. It could be a cautionary position. If somebody's going to be makel, and obviously we're describing somebody who is who cares in regards to halacha, and he's being makel, so obviously his leniency is reflective of the fact that he is confident in his position and he's really certain about what the halacha is. So when given the option of accentuating, of highlighting a more lenient position or a more stringent position, so the Gemara says consistently, it says it over here, it says it in the beginning of the Gemara Beitza, the Gemara says it throughout Shas, Koach de Tera Adif, that it's always better to highlight the more lenient position. Where do we stand on all this? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, the Gemara now is going to conclude in terms of halacha. Halacha Rav Yehuda Asavar. So the halacha follows like this position of Rav Yehuda Asavar or like Tosus Rav Yehuda Savach. That if the walls go up to the ceiling, so then they're viewed as separate units, each one having to contribute to the Erev. If the walls don't go to the ceiling, so then agreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That's the Gemara says, that's Allah. Amar Rav Nachman, Yisrael Masnis Nami Deka. Read the Mishnah and read it critically, and you're going to see in the Mishnah that that's exactly what the Mishnah says. Ziktani Umodim is Manchim Exasim Shruim. Bechadarim Uva Aliyah Shetzirchen Erev Lachol Chabur Vechavura. So my chadar, my aliyah. So the Mishnah says, where's the point of agreement? So when it is rooms and aliyos. Aliyos basically are a reference to a separate floor. Ile mechadar mechadar mamish and aliyos mamish pshita. So if we're talking about rooms, separate rooms, and floor, separate floor, so then that's obvious. Obviously, they're different units. So alalav ke'en chadarim and ke'en aliyos amayneo mechitzas amegilas tikra shmamina. So it just means that when we're saying the word chadarim and aliyos, it just simply means that the walls are hitting the ceiling. But it doesn't mean that they're actual separate floors. It doesn't mean that they're actually separate rooms. It happens to be that they're makeshift walls. It just happens to be that the walls go all the way up to the ceiling. That's what the Mishnah is describing. So in the analysis of the Mishnah, so it comes out that a critical reading of the Mishnah goes exactly like Rav Yehuda HaSavar. And the Gemara therefore concludes that the halacha follows like Rav Yehuda HaSavar, that when the makeshift walls go all the way to the ceiling, each one of them now represents separate units, and they often contribute to the eruv. Once the walls don't hit the ceilings, so then we have Shitas Beis Hillel that says that they're not viewed as separate units. It's all one unit. It's all one group. Obviously, intra our building, our home, where the walls don't hit the ceiling. So then there's no need to make an Eruv vis-a-vis this one particular home. Okay, Adkan. Then we're going to stop over here. We're going to just quickly recap, review, and tomorrow we pick it up. Our discussion today touched on two principal topics. Our first topic today, really a continuation of yesterday's daf, is the question and the discussion of whether or not a shituf and an eruv can double one for the other. If we set up an eruv, you set up a shituf, so is there also a requirement to set up an eruv as well? There's a machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Meir. And the way Rav Yosef presented it, that's the same machlokas of Rav Elazar ben Tadai and the Chachamim. And Shitas Rav Meir is more machmir, Shitas the Chachamim are more mekel. Also, over the course of this morning, we frame the machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and there are two ways to frame it, one being more stringent than the other. As far as halach is concerned, so we discussed a little bit in today's daf in terms of what the halach is in terms of the practice, as we already pointed out. So we set up a shituf with bread, matzahs, and what we use them for is we use them both for the shituf and for the eruv as well. But as we already articulated, as we already expressed, this could be a reflection both of the shita Rameir or could be a reflection of the shita of the Chachamim. Not perfectly clear. But anyway, that's the practice. That's the accepted practice that has been the case for hundreds and hundreds of years. As far as our next topic of discussion, you have a home with makeshift walls and you have various groups living within the makeshift spaces. So are they viewed as one entity or are they viewed as separate entities? The Gemara had multiple ways to understand the Mishnah, actually four in total, four different ways to understand the Mishnah. But to conclude and to summarize, so the Gemara quoted on the top of the Amud Beis, Shita of Rav Yehuda Savar or Savach, who's of the position that when the walls hit the ceiling, so then we have agreement, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will agree that they're viewed as separate entities. If the makeshift walls don't hit the ceiling, so then Beis Hillel, which is obviously the position we follow, says that they are not viewed as separate entities. The Rav Nachman concludes that in fact is the correct position. That's the halacha. And the Gemara critical reading of the Mishnah would bear out that this seems to be the correct position.